comes from the Gospel of Luke,
chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. If you're following along with one of the Bibles provided under the bench, that scripture reading can be found on page 927. Again, that's Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving them thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well."
I had informed Ben and Leanna that this move is temporary. Until the kids get big enough that they can do for themselves, you know, they need to return. So, you know, I don't know how seriously they took that. So, but we're going to miss them. We're going to miss them. Thanksgiving Day is quickly approaching. I don't know what your plans are for Thanksgiving. I would say that it probably all evolves around food and family and fellowship. Those are good F's, by the way. Briefly this morning, I want to focus on the subject of thankfulness or gratitude. Because, to be quite honest with you folks, I believe that it matters to God. Based upon the passage that was just read for us. Let's go back in Luke chapter 17 and let's revisit this event that occurs. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered in a certain village and there he met 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. He fell down on his face, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and he said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" You know, what the text reveals for us, as we can see, is the fact that, yes, Jesus was on a journey. And he was making his way to Jerusalem. He passes through the regions of Samaria and Galilee. And when you harmonize the Gospels and John chapter 11 in verses 53 and 54, perhaps that city, even though Luke doesn't mention it, there in Luke chapter 17, appears to be Ephraim. So, when we consider Jesus' journey from the north to the south, we see Jesus as he gets to this certain town that there are 10 lepers there. Now, someone will ask, what in the world is leprosy? Leprosy, as defined by Nelson's Bible Dictionary, goes like this. It is a slowly progressing incurable. We don't like to hear that word, do we? Incurable. It's incurable. An incurable skin disease, characterized by sores, scabs, and white shining spots beneath the skin. Because of the need to control the spread of the disease, for which there is no cure, the law required that a leper be isolated from the rest of society. To say the least, to be a leper would not be an easy life. First, you're dealing with the incurable. These people had to obviously look so pitiful to behold them. Second, they were outcast. Life was not normal or ordinary for them. It was very abnormal. And you can probably imagine Jesus and His disciples as they approached this town. Again, don't know exactly which one it was, but Jesus' welcoming committee was a committee of 10 lepers. And on the outer limits of this city, as you enter into this town, these pitiful souls, they're raising their voices up and they're crying out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on us." How sad. How sad. By law, they were required to be ostracized. But the closest they could get to town, maybe some grateful, gracious soul would be generous and do something kind for them. So, we see what the text reveals. Jesus enters into the city, Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. Jesus is met by these 10 lepers, and they stood afar off, Luke chapter 17, verse 12, and that complies with law, Leviticus chapter 13 and verses 45 and 46, and also in chapter 7 and verse 21. And they shout out, "Master! Master, have mercy on us." Of course, Jesus heard their plea, just as He had heard the plea of so many others that had cried out in a much similar way. Hasn't Jesus heard this before? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me." You remember in Mark chapter 10 and verse 48, as Jesus had gone through Jericho, and as He's leaving the city, there's one who's crying out. I call him Blind Bart. Blind Bartimaeus. And he's crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was blind. He wanted Jesus to heal him. Or maybe like that event that occurred in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. That Canaanite woman who approaches Jesus. "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter. She's demon-possessed. Heal her." Or maybe there in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 15 of the father who comes to Jesus and begs Him because of his epileptic son. His disciples were unable to cure him. "Jesus, You cure him. You heal him. Have mercy on us." Church, do you know that the thing I find interesting is that each and every time someone wanted Jesus to have mercy on them, He granted it? Think about that. The only time that I read in Scripture where Jesus or God did not have mercy on someone was in that parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the rich man? He wanted God to have mercy on him, but it was too late then. That was the only time. Tells me as long as we ask God for mercy and do what is required by God to obtain mercy, God will grant it. God will grant it. When we think about Master, something else is noteworthy here. When they yell out, "Master!"
to Jesus. The Greek word that they're using here means commander. In other words, these lepers knew that Jesus had the power to command these diseases to depart from them. What do we think of that? Because He had been doing this throughout His ministry with others, hadn't He? Perhaps you remember the centurion soldier who asked Jesus, Jesus, all you've got to do is just speak the word and my servant will be made well. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. I'm a man with authority and under authority. I understand authority. You're a man of authority. Just say the word, command that my servant be made well. And he will. You see, this is the same type of language these lepers are using. Command this disease to be gone. It was at the word of Jesus that the demons were driven out by His authority from those swine. You remember that? But brethren, it wasn't just the fact that He could heal our diseases, our infirmities. It's that all Jesus had to do was speak the word based upon our faith, and we see Him having the power to remove sins. As a matter of fact, He did that on one particular occasion. You remember in Luke chapter 5 and Mark chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1? You remember as Jesus made His way to Capernaum? Mark tells us that He was in the house. Now, Jesus didn't have His own house. He lived with friends. Peter had a home there in Capernaum. Could have perhaps been at Peter's home. But you remember Jesus was teaching. The room was so full, the house was so full, there was a paralyzed man that was brought to Jesus by four on a stretcher. You remember that? What are we going to do? We can't get in. It's too crowded. Someone came up with a bright idea. Let's go up on the roof. Let's start removing ceiling tiles, roofing tiles. Can you imagine that scene? Jesus is sitting there teaching, and all of a sudden, daylight begins to shine through, and then, you know, this guy's being lowered down in front of you. What faith? What faith? But you remember what Jesus told him? He didn't say, oh, be healed, be cured. He said, your sins be forgiven. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus wanted them to know, He speaks the word, His power. He has the power to forgive us of our sins. Jesus does. He showed mercy. He showed mercy. This was in compliance with the law. He didn't deny them mercy. He showed him mercy, or them mercy. And all He asked for them was to go show yourselves to the priest. And this is based upon law, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, and chapter 14, and verses 1 through 2. There was a ceremonial cleansing that occurred. And after a certain amount of time, these lepers were reinstated, readmitted back in society. Brethren, has God not shown us mercy for the sins we've committed, atoning for our sins? Absolutely. In association with that sacrifice, God brings about a spiritual cleansing in our life. God is merciful. He is gracious. God is loving. Let's shift gears to the full extent of gratitude when we look at this story quickly. First of all, we see as we observe this story that all 10 were cleansed. They all cried out, Master Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Not one of them was denied a blessing, a cure, compassion. They all cried out, all saw the need for Jesus to help them. Their condition was deplorable. It was miserable. They couldn't cure themselves. And it seems apparent that no one could except Jesus. You know, when one is lost in sin, one must acknowledge his sinful ways. I can't atone for my own sins. Only Jesus can do that. They all cried out and they were all cleansed. In other words, Jesus was not partial towards any of them. It wasn't as if he had looked at them and noticed, oh, there's a foreigner in the crowd. Well, I'll heal everybody else but except this foreigner. He didn't do that. He healed them all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Peter acknowledged this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. God shows no partiality. Our children sing that beautiful song, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in our sight, in his sight. Two, brethren, as the story develops, we see only one return to show his gratitude. It is important for us to know and to understand that Jesus did not perform the miracle to be thanked. That's not why he did it. Jesus performed the miracle because that is who he is. That's who he is. Some may read the parable of that good Samaritan and scratch their head and say, well, why did he do it? Because that is who he is. That is his character. It was the right thing to do. But with that being said, Christ did expect gratitude, and rightfully so. In other words, it was almost like an insult to him for the others who were blessed to not say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever done something good for someone? Don't name any names. And they just failed the common courtesy to say, thank you. Thank you so much. We're disappointed, aren't we? Worse yet is when you do something good for somebody, and they, not only do they not thank you, in turn, they hurt you. They degrade you. Brother, this leads me to our gratitude unto God for all that He has done for us, He is doing for us, and He will continue to do for us. Are we thankful always and always thankful? Or are we like the 9 thankless lepers? We call out to God, we cry out to God, God hears us, God delivers us, God saves us, and we just move on to the next big thing. Or worse yet, we call out to God, we cry out to God, God hears us, God helps us. Something else happens to us bad in our life and it doesn't develop the way that we think that it should develop. And in turn, we use it against God. Church, God has done something greater for you and me than healing our bodies. He's cleansed our souls and given us the hope of heaven. Let us forever be mindful of that and be grateful for that every single day of our lives. Only one returned to give thanks. Luke chapter 17, verse 18. This needs to be emphasized because Jesus emphasized it. Of all the people, the Jewish race, just because of their pedigree and their traditions, should have known to be grateful, thankful people unto God. But they were outdone, and Jesus draws attention to it, by this foreigner. Now, he draws attention to it for a reason. Not only is he disappointed that God's people are not doing what God's people should do, be grateful and thankful, but he's disappointed because, here it comes, God's people are being outdone by the world. If we could kind of look at it through our lenses in our society today, it is a sad day for the church when unbelievers outdo believers. That's Jesus' spin on this. That should never be, brethren. Is this perhaps why we even have the story of the Good Samaritan? I don't remember ever reading a story about the good Jew. Do you? It's an indictment on God's people when the world behaves better than they do. Instead, the world ought to be shocked, stunned, amazed, in awe at the precious and priceless conduct of the church. You see, your behavior and my behavior is so different from the world's behavior that the world takes note of it and says, wow, that's not what I would have done. That's not how I would have behaved. That's not what I would have said. That's not what I would have done. I had to be careful. I was sharing with Brian and Kelly out there on my way to services this morning, because I'm human too, you know. I'll let you in on a little secret. Preachers aren't perfect. Don't go tell that to anybody, but I'm just telling you, they're not. Be quiet, Don. Because neither are elders. So, on my way to services this morning, there was a gentleman that was in front of me with a foreign license plate. I mean, a license plate from another state, West Virginia. And he was going 20 in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. And I was a little bit behind the eight ball this morning. Ask Jeff and Mike. You know, I was behind the eight ball. I was really... And this guy was just like he was in a parade or something. You know? And I'm like, go! Go! You know? And I'm just... Man, but, you know, he was from out of town. I kept telling him, I said, he's not from around here. He doesn't know where he is. Okay, he's looking up all the streets and trying to... So we get to our green light, and my patience was really being tried, because green means go. Okay, except in West Virginia. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, green means go, and he's sitting there. One, West Virginia. A two, West Virginia. A three, West Virginia. And about 5-6 seconds go by, and he's sitting there, and man, my hand's slowly coming up on that horn. I'm getting ready to just belt it out, you know. And he looks up, and he goes, you know what he was doing? He was looking at a map. He was lost. He was lost. So it went from one lane to two lanes, and he got in the right lane. I said, thank you, Lord, and I buzzed around him real quick. So, but I, you know, as I was sharing with Brian and Kelly, I said, you know, the last time God taught me a lesson on patience, you know, because the last time on a Sunday I blew my horn at somebody, do you know what I did? I had the joy of following them all the way to church. And God taught me a valuable lesson that day. So here's what I'm trying to say to you is that, you know, don't be like the world. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, I'm so disappointed. The only one that came back to give me gratitude, give me thanks, was this foreigner. You know, and the Jews, you know the way it goes. I mean, how disappointing, brethren, it is whenever the world outdoes the church. Even though we're in the world. Wasn't that Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not like the world. And even preachers need their toes stepped on with that message too. So, as we think about Thanksgiving and gratitude, I want to remind you that God doesn't do what he does just to be thanked, but he does want to be thanked. Gratitude keeps us humble. It keeps us on the path that we need to be on because it makes us mindful of the blessings that God has given us. Parents, aren't you always doing that with your kids? Someone does something nice, what do you say? Thank you. Yep. Say thank you. Sometimes as Christians, we need to be reminded of that. We do. I want to encourage you this morning to give your life to Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to come forward with a penitent heart, a mouth willing to confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and live a life that is pleasing to God, a life that reflects your gratitude unto God each and every day. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that, but you know what? You got to doing a little personal inventory and you realized, you know what? I need to get off that horn and get on my knees and be more like Jesus. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation song, please come forward together. We stand and we sing.